mean, seriously, can we keep on dreaming of living in a perfect world? I don't think so. Not if we're being realistic. As long as politicians are running the show and the entertainment industry is is providing education, then nah. It's up to rugged individuals such as yourself to educate themselves and to do what they can to make their world perfect, because otherwise you're just going to live a life of disappointment. Hey, good morning. Mark Congleton here. You're listening to the Daily Perspective Podcast. And I know that was kind of a downer to start on, but you know what? Yeah, life in the United States of America today is pretty weird. And I don't mean to start off as negative Nancy here, but wow. That's the reason that we need podcasts like this and conservative talk radio and the like. It's because there needs to be a flow of information that has not been filtered through the progressive left. And thankfully, there's a lot of sources out there now that make this available without having to conform to progressive politicians' ideas of what is fair. You know, there once was a thing called the Fairness Doctrine. If you've stated an opinion on the air, on public broadcast, anywhere, then you had to provide equal time. And so stations had these little segments that they would run that they provided as equal time to people who disagreed. And that's not so anymore, because that was stifling freedom of speech. And thankfully today, we have freedom of speech, and because of that, we can actually get information that's not available through the mainstream press. That's the beauty of the internet, is that you and I can find anything we want. Anything we want. Anything we need to know. It's out there. Now, because the internet's a lot like a fire hose, and it'll just blast you with all kinds of stuff, you do have to learn to filter. You have to learn to be discerning, so that you know what's true and what's not. And that's what this is all part of, is hopefully helping you to come to grips with the reality of life and to develop a sense for what is real and what is not. And at the same time, try not to be angry about it, because, doggone it, you're good looking, people like you, you know? In spite of the fact that government is stupid. I hope you're having a good day. So far, it's a good day for me. It's the Thursday edition, recording on, actually, we're live on Facebook this morning and recording at, hang on here, let me double check that and make absolutely sure. Yes, we are absolutely live on Facebook. Because I'm an idiot, I have to actually go and open that page and make sure I'm right. It's March 28th, a little after 8 o'clock in the morning Central Time. And thanks to all of you who are listening wherever you may be, whether it be in Hawaii, California, Colorado, Washington, Alaska, the UK, Texas, it doesn't matter where you're listening. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being there, whether you're listening live or you're time shifting. Yeah, you're in the future listening with your time machine, and you have made this a part of your everyday. I'm glad you're there. Thank you so much. Speaking of the stupidity of government, that brings me to the first thing I want to talk about. And this has actually been in my stack for a few days, and odds are, if you are a savvy, self-informed person, you have already seen this, but so many people haven't, and it keeps popping up in social media. So I want to run this by you real quickly. In Seattle, Washington, there was a man who took advantage of his opportunity to speak to the city council in the city he lived in. So he carves out the time and goes to the city council meeting and stands before them and makes a simple request when he stands up. He just wants to make a quick comment about the proceedings before he gets into his subject matter. And this is how that played out.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon. Before you start the clock, could you stop me for a second? It's real discouraging to come up here and see all the heads down. It's like, you know.
Sir, you're on a 2-minute timer here, so let's go.
Just to clarify, when he stepped up, nobody was looking at him. In fact, there is a photograph that goes along with this. I mean, the video that goes along with it. That sadly, I'm not set up so that I can put it on the feed here. But as you look, most of the people on the council are looking down. They all have laptops open in front of them. It looks like a couple of them have their phones and they're texting or tweeting, and they're not looking up. And apparently this has been going on, and this man noticed this while he was waiting his turn to speak. And he just wanted to say, you know, it's a little disheartening. It's not encouraging to step up here and you people are not paying attention. You're looking down. So, and then the person in charge says, hey, you're on a 2-minute timer. Let's step it up here. He's confused.
I'm not following you.
You're on a 2-minute timer.
Could you start it over, please?
No, we're not going to. Just go ahead.
Oh.
So it was unreasonable for me to ask that people look up and give me their attention?
Sir, you have 2 minutes. We're all looking at you. You have 2 minutes. Now you have a minute and 30 seconds.
Okay, well, I guess I won't be able to say it. Last week, you limited, this kind of goes to the heart of what I was going to talk about, which was the state of our democracy. Last week, you limited speakers because of the number of speakers to 1 minute each, but you allowed Pramila Jayapal to speak as long as she wanted to. It was 4 or 5 minutes. And it reminded me of George Orwell's famous saying from Animal Farm about how all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I feel like I'm being treated now, just because I was kind of asking for your attention. Like, I noticed you all were very attentive to Ms. Jayapal last week. And I just wanted to ask for your attention before I started. And I immediately got a hostile response back from you. I don't understand that. So you don't ever respond to citizens, or what's...
I do, sir, but you have 2 minutes for public comment to the agenda items.
Well, it's all on tape, and I think it's a pretty sad commentary that you think that asking for you guys to look up off of your computers and give attention during this short period of time was an unreasonable thing. I really feel bad about that.
And he steps away from the microphone. That is city government. They didn't care about what he had to say. They were preoccupied texting and tweeting and on their laptops. They were just there because they knew the law required them to hold these meetings and allow public comment. But in their minds, that doesn't mean they have to listen to your public comment. It just means they have to let you talk. And let me see if I've got this queued up in the right place. Listen here.
It was 4 or 5 minutes. And it reminded me of Jayapal to speak as long as she wanted to. It was 4 or 5 minutes.
No.
Speakers to 1 minute each, but you allowed Pramila Jayapal to speak as...
Yeah, well, I'm in the wrong place. But at one point, there's an audible sigh from the council person at the microphone. He's trying to make a point, and she's... That disrespect of the people who actually are casting votes and paying taxes, sadly, is more common than not in government. And I've told you, I've said so many times, that these people who pursue politics, especially those on the left, believe wholeheartedly that they are in a class of people much higher than you. And that when they give you some of their time, they're being gracious to you. And it's pretty clear from this that a lot of these people, especially in local government, really don't give a rat's backside what your opinion is about anything. They'll allow you to come and make your comments on the issues which they're addressing at the council meeting. If they open the doors that time, because sometimes they'll close the doors. But they don't have to actually listen to what you have to say. In fact, this guy was watching the proceedings, and when he stepped up, he just said, hey, can I make a quick comment before the clock starts? No, the clock is running. You have 2 minutes. This should make your blood boil. It does mine. This should make you want to go to every city council meeting in your town where you live and watch what happens. This should make you want to become more active politically, because this is what's going on, not only at city council meetings, but it's going on wherever politicians meet, because they believe they're doing higher, they believe they are answering to a higher call. As I've said before, especially the progressives believe that they are intellectually and morally superior to you. And you can hear that in this councilwoman's voice. The disdain, the impatience. And that's how they treat the people who are paying their taxes and taking the time to care enough to be socially involved. Now, think about this for just a minute. This is within reach of the local citizenry. This is a car drive away. Somebody like this man lives within the boundaries of this government's reach, gets in his car, or possibly takes public transportation, depending, and can get there and be a part of this meeting. And it's not a huge inconvenience for him. He just has to take some time out of his life and go do it. What if this were at the state level? What if it were a little bit harder? It would be an even bigger travesty. Let's take it a step further. What if this was Washington, D.C.? You see, when politicians get further away from the people who elect them and who pay their taxes, they are further removed from the reality of life and what these people face, especially in Washington, D.C. Because in D.C., these people are removed by a long way from their constituents. Oh, yeah, they go home, they make public appearances, they make speeches, they have town hall meetings, unless their town hall meetings end up getting populated by people who disagree with them, and then they stop holding them. But when they're so far away from home, when they're so far away from you, and they only come home for publicity tours and to look important, example, Sheila Jackson Lee of Houston, Texas. When she's in Texas, she has her people call around and look for opportunities for her to speak to crowds, including funerals. Yes, funerals. I've seen report after report of people who received phone calls, not asking if she could speak, but telling them that she will speak at their funeral. This level of self-importance is, I think, a sign of a certain kind of mental instability, and it's also dangerous to the foundation, to the fabric of our nation. Because what we have is not representatives. We have a class of people who see themselves as higher than us and more important than us and more worthy than us. They believe they are intellectually and morally superior to us. And because of this, they give us lip service. They talk about how important we are to them. But then when it really comes down to the important times and we want to talk with them about something important, we get handshakes and nods and sometimes hugs of compassion, and then we get passed off to minions on the staff and then forgotten. Because what's more important is going down the hall to talk to the cameras of CNN. Making that appearance on national television to keep their fundraising up. Because they're getting most of their funding for campaigning from places besides home. Because they're parroting the leftist agenda. It's just something to think about today. This is the Daily Perspective. Good morning. Mark Congleton, your sometimes humble host. I think it's important that that first segment that we're talking about how politicians really see you, particularly progressive politicians, Democrats. There are progressive Republicans, too. Do a little snooping around and you'll see that there are Republicans who vote with the Democrats, and they do so because they're progressives. But it's important to realize that at one point there was an amendment passed which makes it easier for the people that we send to represent us on the federal level. It makes it easier for them to dodge us. The 17th needs to be repealed. Because it used to be that your state legislature chose who went. We elected the people who go to our state capitals, and then they would in turn choose who went to represent the state at the federal level. Until savvy politicians, clever, deceptive politicians, realized, you know, they could just run for office and that would be more democratic. The people would be involved. On the surface, it sounds good. But in reality, it freed them up to campaign not only in your state, but wherever the heck they wanted to. Which is why, I'm in Alabama, just for clarification, which is why Doug Jones, Senator Doug Jones from Alabama, is campaigning in Los Angeles. He's running ads. He's running social media ads in major liberal markets, but not at home. He's campaigning in Los Angeles, New York, and other highly progressive population centers, as well as in Europe. He's seeking funding from Americans in Europe because he knows he can't get that funding back home in Alabama because the people realized, this guy, he's just a placeholder. He's there to hold the seat until we can replace him with somebody who's qualified, who actually does represent us, because he doesn't. And that's just an example from my state. You should look into what's happening in your state and find out where your senators and your representatives are targeting their campaign ads. Because I think you'll be shocked to find out they're actually looking for funding for their campaigns outside of your state. And you may have to ask yourself, why would they do that? Aren't they there to represent us? No, they're not. They are there to represent, especially on the progressive side, they're there to represent their party's interests, not yours. And they need to know that you know that. So it's time for all of us, regardless of where you live, get busy, find out what your peeps are doing, and hold their feet to the fire. Make sure they know you know. And for example, if people were paying closer attention and holding their congressional representatives and senators' feet to the fire, we wouldn't have had the Kavanaugh hearings. And we wouldn't have gone through the Mueller probe. And we wouldn't have seen this circus that went on. It's been labeled as a witch hunt. It really was. It's just an effort on the progressive part to undermine Donald Trump to keep him from winning re-election in 2020. That's what it all comes down to. They just want him to be as dirty as possible in the minds of the people who will just listen to them. And you know, if you're a conservative, you know, if you have liberal friends on social media, or possibly just in real life, you know what they say, what they post online, and what they say when they see you. You know what they say. Hey, he's lied. It's documented. He's lied over 8,000 times. I see that so often. I just want to say, yeah, could you list them off for me? And by the way, if you do that, just as a just as a heads up, if you do that, they quickly deflect. They can't name anything. They like to say, yeah, well, you know, he was talking about grabbing ladies' privacy. He was talking about all that stuff. And they ignore the fact that he was talking about groupies because he said, and they let you. That was not, when somebody lets you touch them, they give you permission. That's not an assault, but that's what they want it to be. Yeah, well, he called all Hispanics animals. No. He called vile, murdering rapists coming across our border from Mexico animals. The same applies to Americans. But your liberal friends aren't getting the full picture. They're believing whatever they're told because it fits their bias. Yeah, it's got to be true. That's what I believe. It's got to be true. And they don't dig any further because that's good enough. You know, I've told stories about a guy I know who I'm not going to get into. I won't name him or tell you what he does for a living or anything like that. I'll just say every time I see him, what I hear from him is, hey, your boy. And it doesn't matter who's in office at the time. Hey, your boy, George W. That's how, you know, that's how he, back when W was president. And today it's, hey, your boy Trump. And what follows is usually a mishmash of disinformation and lies, which have been put out there by the progressive left. They just believe whatever they're told. They don't dig any further unless they dig into leftist information sources, because that's what makes them comfortable. And you and I, we've got to be more savvy than that. We've got to know what's really going on. We've got to understand that the media is complicit in all this disinformation as well. And you may have seen this story. Megyn Kelly used to be on Fox News, went to work for NBC. Wow, that was a train wreck. And she, Sunday night, she pummeled the media. She demanded that they give up the notion of the of this Trump-Russia collusion nonsense. Over the weekend, you know this by now, the Mueller announced the findings of his investigation on the Russian collusion in the presidential election of 2016. The report didn't find any collusion, none, between the Trump campaign and Russia. The investigation was conducted over a period of 2 years, almost three, and they wrapped it up last Friday. Following the report, Attorney General William Barr signed off on the report with a summary of conclusions, which he sent to the media as well as to congressional leaders. For his part, President Trump celebrated the news. He went to Twitter and wrote, "No collusion, no obstruction, complete and total exoneration. Keep America great." And then Megyn Kelly reacted to the news on social media. She posted, "Mueller, no evidence of collusion with Russia." Now, will the media who invested so much in this narrative accept it, remembering that they are not supposed to root for outcomes? Or will they hold on, looking for ways to save face on their earlier wrong predictions and coverage? And she followed that first tweet with a second one, calling for the media to simply move on and quit waiting for news to break that she simply doesn't feel will break. And I love the way she put this. She said, they'll hold on. It'll be the journo punditry equivalent of, he's going to call me, right? The reason he hasn't called is he must be really busy or on a trip or in the hospital. Just stay ready. It's not over. She wrapped up by saying, people, collusion's over. He's going to call me, right? Oh, White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders also tweeted a response. She said, a great day for America and for President Donald Trump. After 2 years of wild anti-Trump hysteria, the president and his millions of supporters have been completely vindicated. And then later she added, Democrats and their liberal media allies for 2 years slandered President Donald Trump for conspiring with Russia. It was all a malicious, preposterous lie given wall-to-wall media coverage despite zero evidence. This should never again happen to an American president. And she's right. And you notice she didn't say a Republican president. She just said an American president. And what she means by that is we should have standards. And our press once actually had standards. They would not report on things which didn't have conclusive, concrete support. They did their due diligence. They actually were journalists. Not so much anymore. Because now they're just news readers. They, like Jim Acosta at CNN, are looking for the spotlight. They're trying to build fame for themselves. They see themselves somehow as social activists. Speaking truth to power. That's a phrase you hear a lot. Oh, we're just speaking truth to power. No, no. As has been proven throughout the 2016 campaign and ever since, you're rushing to get in front of the camera whenever you hear something juicy. You're not speaking truth to power. Bless your heart. Hey, more is coming up on the Mueller investigation after the break. James Clyburn has something to say about that. Rahm Emanuel has gone to war with Jussie Smollett and the state's attorney. He wants an investigation and restitution. We'll look into that as we continue here on this edition of the Daily Perspective. Yeah. It's the Daily Perspective. Mark Congleton here. Glad you're along. Thanks so much. Hey, have you signed up for the newsletter yet? Goes out every day. Mainly what it is notes from the show. And from time to time, other thoughts, comments, wisecracks, whatever. At any rate, it's a daily newsletter that comes to your inbox, so you get all of the links to what I talked about during the podcast, during the Facebook Live show every day. And, as I said, from time to time, something will start bugging me, and I'll sit down and start typing something out, and the next thing you know, you've got more in your inbox. So, get signed up today. Simple way to do it is to go to markandmaxshow.com or the Daily Perspective website. That's my website, markcongleton.com, and click the link for signing up to the newsletter. Just put in your email address. It's a double opt-in process, by the way. I know this is Nerdville, but listen up, listen up, because I have to explain this to you. You can't get the newsletter unless you sign up for it. And you can't, after you sign up for it, you have to go through another step of confirming. Because we're not going to send you, I'm not going to send you anything you don't want. So if you sign up for it, You have to, it's like, are you sure? And you have to say, yes, I know, I'm sure. And then you'll start getting the daily newsletter. Okay. All right. And the reason I do that is because there was one point that Dave and I had over 3,000 people on our daily newsletter at one point. And we had, there was someone who was donating our web space at the time, who just was, you know what, I run a web company, I love you guys, let me provide your where your website is. And that also included where our email was routed through. And our email was being used, our email system on the website was what was delivering the daily newsletter. And the daily newsletter was going out to, as I said, over 3,000 people. And some people who were AOL customers, AOL is actually still around. Did you know that? What do they do? Anyway, their AOL customers instead of just hitting the unsubscribe link at the bottom of any message they got from us, they dumped it in their spam folder. I don't want to read that. And as a result, AOL contacted our web service provider. The people who this guy who was so generous to provide us a space on the web back, wow, this is back before a lot of people were doing this. And they said, unless this website stops sending out this unwanted email, we're taking you to court. And there was no, hey, what's going on here? It was legal action. Boom. Are you scared enough? And so people who were just too lazy to click a link or too dumb, I actually opt for the dumb option. People who were too dumb to click a link dumped us in their spam folder, and the next thing you know, we're getting legal threats from AOL. So, henceforth and thereafter, you have to be really sure you want that email newsletter. So, go today, click the link, sign up, and when you get the follow-up email, respond, yes, I do want this. And before you know it, every day you'll be getting show notes and who knows what else. Okay? Okay. I mentioned James Clyburn. Tuesday, he said that special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into Russian collusion represents a closed chapter. I think he realizes there's no fight left in this fight. It's not that he doesn't have a dog in the fight. The dog that was in the fight is dead. It's time to move on. But something else is a new chapter. Quote, I believe that the Mueller report has been done. It's a chapter that's closed. This administration opened a new chapter when it moved to invalidate the Affordable Care Act. He said that on CNN's New Day show Tuesday. The Trump administration said Monday it now thinks the entire Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, is unconstitutional due to Congress's decision to gut the individual mandate to hold insurance. Now, you remember, think back if you were paying attention when this fraud was being pushed. When it went before the Supreme Court, they were told, now, we can't pass this. Now, if it was a tax, you know, in other words, go back to square one, do your homework, and come back and present this to us as a tax, and yeah, we can constitution. So what happened was they nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more. They made it a tax. But because of the individual mandate, they had to put a mandate in place. In other words, you are legally bound to buy this. You're legally bound to give us money for this purpose. Oh, well, then, that's a tax. Because of that weird conniving condition, it became a tax. Well, since they blew out the individual mandate, it's no longer considered a tax. So, because of this, Mr. Clyburn is not a happy camper. He's just not a happy camper at all. What he neglects to tell you or any of his constituents is that it was less than 15% of our population that benefited from this. And you may have friends who say, well, I don't know about you, but it helped me. I have friends who've said that. Well, what I saw happen was our insurance rates jumped and our deductibles quadrupled. And I've just been through a situation this year in 2019 where I had to pay out, let me think. You know, I just had knee replacement surgery. When I got the hospital bill and saw what insurance paid, but what I still had to pay. Ha ha! It's an expensive operation. And we're talking tens of thousands of dollars. We're talking 30, 40 grand. You know, we're locked. It's a lot of money to get this done, but insurance paid a lot of it, but I still had to cough up a lot. And to be honest with you, it was a lot I didn't have. So I've been through this. My deductibles have gone through the roof. My insurance premiums have gone through the roof. And I'm not alone. Probably happened to you as well. It happened to everybody but that 15%. So what happened was the Obama administration got in bed with the insurance companies in order to eliminate the insurance companies. It was a weird situation because what they wanted was single-payer health care. Yeah, that's not what they got through the Affordable Care Act. I know you're yelling at your podcast player, but no, that's not what that was. It was designed to fail so they could blame the insurance companies and medicine, and they could step in and rescue America by providing a single path to health care coverage, the single payer system run by the government. That was the entire reason for the Affordable Care Act. That's what's happened everywhere. Something like that has been tried before. And by the way, if you do your due diligence, you'll find out the British healthcare system is an abomination, that the Canadian healthcare system, people are coming across the border for things that they can't wait for because otherwise they'll die. And that the Hollywood stars and other idiots in the press, they laud the Cuban healthcare system, but the people of Cuba can't have access to that system. Only the government and famous people who come to visit can see that system at work. And that's what they wanted to do here. It's just nuts. But that's what we get. Anyway, Mr. Clyburn, getting back to him, also said impeachment could still be on the table. But that is a chapter down the road. He also said the question of obstruction of justice is still on the table. And that's something these committees will get into. So what he's done here, much like Maxine Waters, who goes to the same meetings and gets the same information and then goes out in front of crowds of people and says, impeach 45! She goes out and talks to all these people and spouts things because she knows, by the way.
Impeach 45!
Right. So she knows what they're planning. And she goes out in front of crowds of people and the news cameras and screams impeach 45 and gets crowds whipped up. And then she goes back to her office and somebody sits down with her and says, you know, you're not supposed to talk about this stuff. And she doesn't care. She's just rabid and wants impeachment. She's going to the same meetings Clyburn's going to. And they know that impeachment is still on the table. They just won't talk about it right now because they can't make a good case for it right now. They haven't found any way to deceive the people into believing in it enough because the survey says people don't trust in their judgment and they don't believe there's a cause for impeachment. They don't see it. Actually, what they're seeing is the progressive Democrats trying to make the case and failing again and again and again. But Clyburn has revealed what those of us who are paying attention have pretty much surmised, and that is that they still think they can get rid of him. They think they have 2 years left, or they think they have a year or so left, and they can find some way to toss him overboard. They think somehow, they can eliminate Trump, and if not, at least eliminate his influence and his potential for doing damage to them. So, in spite of what they may say to the news cameras, they're still plotting. They're still looking for ways to get rid of him or to keep him from being elected in 2020. The same people who tried to make Trump promise that he would honor an election if he lost are refusing to honor an election they lost. And that's the people we're dealing with. There's still to come. Let's go to Chicago and see what's happening with Jussie Smollett. Oh my gosh. That's a soap opera. This is The Daily Perspective. Hi there. Thank you so much for listening, wherever or whenever you may be listening. It's funny to look at the stats and see where people are listening, because it just, to me, it is. I mean, the people all over the place. Like I said, Alaska, Hawaii, the UK, all over the place. Thanks for being there. Really do appreciate it. I posted this to social media yesterday, but I wanted to play it for you this morning, and that is somebody has found a more acceptable, easier way to listen when Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez begins ranting. And they say they think she sounds much better like this.
I'm not here, and people are more concerned about helping oil companies than helping their own families? I don't think so. Except from that, when we talk about the concern of the environment as an elitist concern. 1 year ago, I was waitressing in a Taco Bell.
Am I the only one that is fighting off the urge to scream?
I just got health insurance for the first time a month ago.
Oh, that's enough. Oh, my goodness. All right. Back to Chicago. Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel yesterday said he wants to find out what happened that caused prosecutors to abruptly drop charges that had accused Empire actor Jussie Smollett of staging a hoax crime to boost his career. Now, remember, the Smollett saga began back in January when the actor, who is black and gay, said two men had attacked him on a Chicago street, putting a noose around his neck and shouting racist and homophobic slurs. Prosecutors later accused him of paying two men to carry out an attack they called a hoax, but abruptly dropped the charges Tuesday. Let's jump in the Wayback Machine for just a moment and remember this particular set of circumstances. It was in January. It was during the coldest time of the year. Actually, it was below zero. I think, where was it? I looked it up at one point. I don't remember exactly, but I want to say it was around 10 below zero. It was the middle of the night in Chicago. Smollett had been to a Subway store and picked up a Subway sandwich, and it was still intact. He had it in his hands, undamaged, when he walked into his apartment building, because he was seen. The two people who attacked him, these two guys who were physical trainers and also who worked on the show, were paid over $3,000, something like $3,500. They're now claiming that money was for physical training so he could get in shape, but they don't charge that much. Their rates are known. And these people, supposedly on the coldest night of the year, sub-zero temperatures, were out roaming the streets looking for a black guy to victimize. Oh, that's believable. Emanuel said in an ABC News interview, let's get to the bottom of this. Let's find out what happened. He says that Smollett had abused the city of Chicago a day after the actor walked out of court, saying he had been vindicated in insisting that he had not staged a racist assault against him back in January. Smollett had been charged with 16 felony counts of disorderly conduct, alleging he gave false accounts of an attack on him to police investigators. Tuesday, the Cook County State's Attorney's Office said it stood by its accusation against Smollett, but was dropping all the charges, saying the actor's prior community service and his agreeing to forfeit his $10,000 bond was a just outcome. So what they're saying is that you can commit a crime. In his part, there was also mail involved, so he committed a federal crime. You can commit a fine, but that's okay. That's all right, as long as you pay your fine and you go do some work at Jesse Jackson's bookstore. The state's attorney's office is saying he's not exonerated. He actually did commit this hoax. He's saying he's innocent and his words are true. That's what Emanuel said in the ABC interview. He went on to say they better get their story straight because this is making fools of all of us. Emmanuel said he would like to see records from the police investigation into the alleged attack made public. He said, let's get to the bottom of this. Let's find out what happened. Now, the records have been sealed. Remember that. The records have been sealed. So, it's going to be difficult for the average person to actually look into things. But if you remember, it didn't take the police long at all to recognize the signs of the hoax. He made the claim. They jumped and looked into it. And very quickly, things started turning. And they started looking at him. One of the things that turned up in that process, please remember, was surveillance video of a store where these two guys went and bought all this stuff. These were people he knew. People he worked with. These were people he paid to do this. And now we know, as we talked about yesterday, that someone who formerly worked for Michelle Obama got involved, made a few phone calls, and started persuading people to do things. Will you hear about that on the Alphabet News channels, on the Alphabet networks, or on the cable news shows? No. You probably will not. Fox News will probably talk about it to some point, but at some point, people are going to forget about this because that's how they operate. They just ignore it until people forget. But Rahm Emanuel is pretty ticked off about this. And he's not alone. He's not alone at all. The Chicago Police Department, yesterday morning, fulfilled a Freedom of Information Act request from WGN News and CWB Chicago and released complete but redacted files from the Jussie Smollett investigation, the last such documents that can be expected, according to the spokesperson for the Chicago Police Department, Anthony Guglielmi. Wow. The documents, first posted by CWB, show the progression of a police investigation that began on January 29th when Smollett and his friend summoned Chicago police to Smollett's downtown apartment to file a police report, indicating that Smollett had been assaulted and battered while walking home from a local Subway sandwich shop. Both files are heavily redacted, were apparently resubmitted to the Chicago Police Department on Tuesday after the Cooks County State's Attorney dropped all charges against Smollett, apparently in anticipation of those Freedom of Information Act requests. There are several items in CPD's investigative files that have not appeared in prior reporting, including that by late January, just days after the Smollett report of the incident to Chicago police, the police had shifted their investigation, reclassifying it from an aggravated battery to a public peace violation or false police report. By January, you have to remember this timeline. This began on the 29th, and by January 31st, 2 days later, it appears the police detectives had requested surveillance footage from buildings surrounding Smollett's residence and had determined that it was likely Smollett had either orchestrated or fabricated the hate crime initially reported to police. Files also catalog the police department's interactions with the now infamous Osundairo brothers, the two men Smollett allegedly hired to help him carry out the attack. The police department interviewed the brothers several times, connecting the pair to the scene of the crime through a hot sauce bottle that one brother admitted he had filled with bleach and then poured on Smollett during the attack. A New York Post reporter later found that hot sauce bottle while poking around the scene of the alleged crime. The question I have is, why didn't the police find that bottle? So, now we have two reports released by the police department because they're mad. They're just like Rahm Emanuel. They're mad. because they did this work and they found out the truth. And some leftist politicians, some progressive politicians, stepped in and rescued this criminal, thus setting the stage for the future. So that pretty much anybody who wants to blame Trump supporters for a violent attack, and it never happened, know they can get away with it. See you tomorrow.